With me, please, to the Gospel of John. The book of John, it's the fourth book in the New Testament, and we're going to read at chapter 1, and we're going to read at verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Trust that the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word, these verses and other verses that we'll read. This evening I would like to speak a little bit about the light of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ came as one who could claim various things. He could say, "I am the door." He could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." But another thing he could say was, "I am the light of the world." Now, we're all familiar with light. We have lights in our homes. We call them artificial lights because it's not natural lighting. It's light that's sort of created in a manufacturing plant. But we switch on the light, and it comes on as incandescent bulbs do, or as fluorescent bulbs do, as light. And it makes the dark place, like this would be if we had no lights, it makes it light at night. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ was one who came into this world, as it says in verse 4 here, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now, light was something that began early on. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, we read that the earth was, and the world was out form and void. And then in the midst of that darkness, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. It came and it revealed what was there. And it also prepared the earth for what was to come. That is the vegetation that was to come, the life forms that were to come, the animals, the humans that were to come. They all benefited, they all needed light. And so he spoke, "Let there be light." And now we come to the New Testament. And more than 4,000 years have elapsed. And he's saying that he's sending light again into the world. You know, that light that was there the first time and there constantly was a light that revealed. It allowed people to see what God had created. They would never have been able to have appreciated the greatness of God's creation if it had been complete darkness, if there had been a totality of darkness. But the light came on that first day of creation, and it was possible to see everything that God had made. And it was possible to appreciate everything that God had brought into existence. And so the light was essential for man to understand what God's great power had done and could do. And so when we come to the New Testament, the light is coming into the world again. It's coming into a world that's full of moral darkness, full of spiritual darkness. And the light begins to shine in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people all of a sudden can see, this is what God is like. God is being manifest in the one who has come as light. So this evening we would like to think about this one who said, "I am the light of the world," to see what he can bring and what he did bring into the lives of people that he touched as he was here upon earth. Because, you know, the same Lord Jesus Christ, this one who is the light of the world, can touch your life tonight, can speak to your heart, can reveal himself to you, and to make himself very personal to you. You know, a question that I would like to ask you. What or who is the light of your life? Is there someone who is very important to you, the light of your life? Is there something that's very important to you, the light of your life? What is it that brings joy and satisfaction? What is it that brings hope and peace to you? And tonight, we can bring before you the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who can bring hope. He is the one who can bring peace into your life. Other things that people trust in, their education, their knowledge of something or other, a friend that they have that's very special to them. Yes, that's nice, that's important, but it's not the light that God can bring. It's not the light that gives eternal life. And that's the light that we want you to have tonight, is that life that can bring eternal life. Well, what did it say? Was everybody pleased when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world? Did everybody rejoice in him? Some people did. But it says, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. He told people he was from the Father. He was going to reveal the Father to them. He was going to show them what God was like. And they didn't understand it. They didn't accept it. They rejected it. So many sought to do away with him. Remember, even when he was a babe, his father was told in a dream to carry him down to Egypt because the wicked king Herod would come and would seek to destroy him. And it was that throughout his life there was that characteristic desire to do away with the one who was a light. And if we turn over to John chapter 3, we'll find out what the problem was. John chapter 3. And let's look at verse 18. John 3, verse 18. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So here was a problem. The Lord Jesus Christ had come. The Lord Jesus Christ was perfect and righteous and pure, always spoke words of truth, always showed a life of utmost honor to his Father God, spoke of how God had sent him to reveal the purposes of God and who God was. And as he moved amongst men, they felt condemned by him. They felt convicted of their sin. They couldn't understand why he would live so perfectly. They couldn't understand how he would be one who could say that he was from the Father. They rejected his testimony, and they hated him because of being the light of God, being that purity that God was. And they wouldn't come to the light. They wouldn't come to him. They would seek to turn away from him. And some in the temple and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they felt threatened by him because he was such a righteous man, because there was no sin in him. So it says that everyone that doeth evil, the people who did evil, the people who were out and out sinners, that is, they may have stolen things, they may have done unrighteous things, they didn't want to be anywhere near the light. Their deeds were better done in the darkness, they thought, where nobody would know about them, nobody would understand them, they'd be completely hidden. And so they wanted to be in the darkness. They didn't want to come close to where the light was. And so they hated the light. And they were afraid that their deeds would be reproved. That is, the light would show what the deeds were and show how wrong the deeds were. And they would be reproved for what they had done by the God of heaven. They would be condemned because of what they had done. You know, that's true. We have to recognize that is that when we sin, when we do something that offends God, and maybe even something that offends somebody else, and we sort of hide it or we try to show that it wasn't done, or we try to, in some way, we conceal it, we're sinning against the God of heaven. And these people were sinning against the God of heaven, and they didn't want those deeds to come forward. They didn't want those deeds to be exposed, because if they were exposed, they would be reproved by God. They would be condemned by God. But you know, there's no use trying to hide the fact that we have committed sins, because, and all of us have committed sins. Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every person born into this world has sinned at some point in time, maybe sinned many times, but we're all sinners. And so when it comes to the purity of God and his holiness, as given by the light, characterized by the light, we've all come short. And that light would expose our impurities, our imperfections, and we would have to admit before the holy God of heaven that we're not fit to be in his presence. We've come short of the glory of God. And that sin that was in the lives of these people caused them to want to flee away from the light, to stay away from the light and not be present around the light, to stay away from the Lord Jesus Christ and not be present around the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it says in verse 21 that he that doeth truth cometh to the light. So here's somebody who's doing what is right, somebody who's convinced that they're doing God's will. They come to the light, that their deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So here's somebody who knows that they are walking in the path that God wants them to walk in, that they're living a life the way that God wants them to live. They have accepted the Lord as their Savior and as their Master, and they're living for him. They will desire to come to the light because they want their deeds to be manifest. They want their deeds to be shown to be wrought in God. That it's not their works, it's not what they have done that's good, but it's what God has wrought through them, and it brings blessing and honor to the one who is the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. So now let's go to another example where the Lord speaks of the light of life. Light is illuminating, it's revealing, and the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to reveal who God was and God's works. And we also looked at the basis of God's condemnation, that God condemns those who will not come to the light, that will not acknowledge him and will rather stay in darkness than come to the light. James chapter 1, verse 17, we won't turn to it, but here's what it says. It says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." So God calls himself the Father of lights. And every gift that man has, whether that person is a sinner or whether he's saved, every gift that comes is from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we have never seen God. We don't know what God looks like. But we do know that when the Old Testament saints would come into the tabernacle, and they would find that there was a holy place and a holiest of holies, that when the high priest went into that holiest of holies, he would see between the cherubims on the top of the mercy seat, he would see a light shining. And that was a Shekinah glory and was the presence of God. So God and light are linked together. And so there seems to be some physical connection between the two. So he's the Father of lights. It says there's no variableness. He doesn't change from one day to the next. It's not like a star that fluctuates. It's not like a planet that has a shadow of turning. God is constant in every direction. His light goes out in every direction. And then James goes on to say, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Again, quoting from John, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that," or this is John, I'm sorry, "but he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. So that's John again repeating this. And James chapter 1, and I'll just turn to that since James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So he's coming and he's bringing life to us. He's begetting us. He's giving us life. And it's through his word of truth that that comes. And it's through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that that comes. And as a result, we can be evidence of his saving ability. We can be the first fruits of the creatures that he's saving and bringing into glory in a future day by trusting in him. We trust that that will be the experience of everyone here. So now, if we look at John chapter 8, we find another reference to the light of the world, John chapter 8. And we'll read it verse 12. There are other references that we're not going to touch on. But here's an interesting situation where light provided forgiveness and mercy. So we talked about how light condemns. Light separates those who follow truth and those who follow sin and darkness. But when we come to John chapter 8, and we'll just look at the story, we'll break in at verse 11. She said, and this is a lady who was in the presence of the Lord, and she was being accused by other men. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The situation was this. There was a woman who was taken in an immoral act. And the scribes and the Pharisees had said, we want to follow Moses' law. We want to stone her. But Jesus was in the temple, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they brought this lady to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, what should we do with this lady? Moses said we should stone her because she's been caught in this immoral act. And so the Lord was writing on the ground. And so they continued to ask him, what should we do with her? What should we do with her? And he stood up, and he said, let the person that is without sin cast the first stone. Let the person who has the moral authority, because they have never sinned, of casting the first stone. You know what happened? There were a number of scribes and Pharisees there, and they went out one by one. The oldest one went out first. The second oldest one went out second. The third oldest one went out third. Why did they go out in that order? Because probably the oldest person had committed the most sins, and the second oldest had committed the second most sins. As the time goes on, we all commit sins. They accumulate. And by the time a person is old, like myself, they've committed many sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was ready, even though this woman had committed such a grievous sin, a sin that should have deserved stoning. He said, neither do I condemn thee. These people who didn't have the moral authority to impose justice because they had sinned, they went out. The Lord Jesus Christ, who remained, was the only one who had the moral authority. And what does he say? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So he was saying to the lady, I forgive you, because he was a son of man. The son of man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He could forgive her, but he says, go and sin no more. He also established a standard for her. If she was going to be a follower of his, she would need to show that she was completely dedicated to him. She would need to show that she would sin no more, that she was going to have a different life, that she would be a new creature in Christ, as it were. Christ says if we believe in him, then he will make us a new creation. those who have a different set of values, those who don't want to follow a path of sin, but want to follow the light of the world, want to be in a righteous path that he would lead us in. And so he says to her, go and sin no more. And then there are those people who are standing around and they're wondering what they just saw. What did it all mean? And so he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So here was this woman, she'd been preserved from death. And now she had, as it were, a second chance, a second life. And she could live for God, but God would expect that she would not walk in darkness, not follow those deeds that were evil, but she would walk in a righteous path. And that's how we show the truth of our salvation, the truth of our faith. It's not that we do works in order to be saved. That doesn't save us. The efforts that I might do and try not to sin and try not to say anything bad about anybody, try not to do anything bad, that doesn't save me, and it never saves anyone. What saves is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then when a person has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they want to change. They want to live in a new way. They want to live for the Lord. They don't want to have a life of sin. And so God sets another standard for us. We seek to follow that. So this woman was told, go and sin no more. The Lord was setting another standard for her. And he explains it to the others by saying, I am the light of the world. Now, another reason why the Lord could forgive sins is because he knew that not too long after this, he was going to go to a cross. And he was going to be judged at that cross for the sins of mankind. God was going to put his judgment upon him. God was going to judge him for the sins of the world. God was going to judge him for that woman's sin. God was going to judge him for my sin. God was going to judge him for everyone here in this audience, for the sins of everybody here. He bore that judgment. But you can only enter into the good of forgiveness if you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ personally and put your faith in him. It's not good enough to say, well, God died for humanity. The Lord Jesus Christ died for every human being. I'm a human being, therefore God died for me and I'm going to be in heaven. No, you have to come as an individual and you have to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you put faith in him as your Savior, then you can have confidence that you're going to be in heaven in a coming day. You can have confidence that you have come by the door that leads to eternal life. You have come by the way that leads to the Father's house. And you can have that confidence that throughout all eternity you will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you left the meeting tonight and you've had that peace in your heart and that confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ was your Savior, and that the one who said, I'm the light of the world, was the one who was your light, the one who would guide you and direct you in your life. So we have this one then who is able to guide and direct. What about the light then as it is seen in other places? John chapter 9, verse 5. John 9 and verse 5, please. So the Lord was speaking to his disciples. They saw this blind man, and they were saying, who sinned? Was it this man's himself who sinned, or was it with this man's parents? Who sinned here? Because sometimes they thought that sin led to a certain curse or a certain thing that bad that would happen to a son or a daughter of somebody who had sinned. So this man was born blind, so they said, well, maybe it was his parents who sinned. Which one was it of his parents was it? So Jesus answered and he said, this man didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. The reason why he was born blind was so that the glory of God might be seen in him. And so he proceeds to say, I must work the works of him that sent me, that is his Father God, while it is day. So while he was here upon earth, he was going to work those works. Because he said, the night is coming, and I won't be able to do those works. I won't be here to do them. I won't be here to perform these wonderful miracles amongst men. But as long as I am in the world, I am the light. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he was here to be the light of the world and to show people what God was like, that God was compassionate, that God was all-powerful and could provide even this man who was born blind sight. And you can find, if you read the complete narrative, that the people were so surprised to see this man seeing. He'd been a blind man and a beggar for his lifetime up to this point. And all of a sudden, he's in the temple and he's healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But his healing was a curious thing because the Lord spat on the ground and made clay and put the clay on his eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is a pool in Jerusalem. And he went there and he washed, and when he came, he had his complete sight. It wasn't something where he had to get corrective lenses or anything like that. He had his sight, and the sight was there, and he was able to see perfectly after that event, because the Lord healed completely, and he healed him fully. So he says, I am the light of the world. The light of the world provided this man with clear insight, a clear understanding of what was going on around him, a clear ability to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he saw him, he thanked the Lord and he worshiped the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light that can give us that capability of worshiping, of seeing things in their true perspective. You know, when we go through life, we get the values of people and of the world around us, and it often distorts what is reality. There's values placed upon making money. There's values placed upon getting an education. There's values placed upon being prosperous. And the person who satisfies those criteria is looked upon as being successful. But when it comes to God's evaluation, he has a different perspective on things. The person who serves God faithfully, the person who lives for God and seeks to be righteous in their life, the person who looks upon the Lord Jesus Christ and worships him and worships God, is a person who is really pleasing to God. He's the one who is walking in the light. She is the one who has the light of God leading her and guiding her. And so those people can come with confidence, knowing that they please God, that they have clear sight, a clear understanding. Many things in this world I don't understand. Many things about the politics of this world are a complete mystery to me, and probably that's a good thing. Many things about businesses and how they operate and so forth are a bit of a mystery to me. But that is not important. What is important is, how am I seen by God, and how do I perceive God? How do I perceive the work of God? How do I contribute to the work of God? And that understanding and that perception of what God wants from you and from me is something that comes from the one who said, I am the light of the world, because he can give that understanding. He is the light who understands all things. He is the one who understands your situation and my situation. He's the one that understands your need and my need. And he is the one who can come in and help us to be of use to God, to understand God. And when we walk in his pathway, even though we don't understand the details of the situations that we might find ourselves in, we might not understand why we're in Canada, for some of us. We might not understand why we have a situation where we had to leave friends, a situation where we had to leave things that were comfortable for us. It doesn't make sense, but yet that's what's happened. And so we've been led in that path. And we can have confidence that if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we allow him to lead us and guide us, we accept him as our Savior, then he will work out all of those details for us in a way that we might not fully understand, but in a way that will be allowing us to be useful for him. And so it's a great privilege to be able to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for him and to serve him. And that's the offer that he makes to you and I tonight. He's willing to be the light of our lives. He's willing to come into our lives and to save us, to lead us, and to help us through life. And the best of it is that when we reach the end of life, we're going to pass into eternity, and there will be before us heaven, a place of joy and a place of happiness, a place of perfect service for the Lord Jesus Christ, a place where we will worship him and honor him, a place where we will sing his praises. But you know, sadly, sad to say, there are so many who won't come to the light, and as a result, they follow a path that leads them along a line of deception, leads them along what the God of this world would tell them, a pathway that leads them with blinded eyes towards a darkness and a place of suffering and death. That's the alternative to having the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I wonder how it is with you, my friend, tonight. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Who or what is the light of your life? Is it the Lord, or do you look for something that is darkness to lead you through this life? You know, there was a concern, and we might just think of 2 Corinthians 4 for a moment. It says, for if our gospel be hid, this is Paul, he's been preaching the gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ, how putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ would bring salvation. And he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, there is a God of this world. It's not that God of light. It's not the God of heaven. It's not the one that the Lord Jesus Christ represented. There's a God of this world who has taken control because he came to the Garden of Eden and he deceived man in the Garden of Eden. It's the Satan, the one who is the enemy of the souls of men. He is referred to as the God of this world. And he blinds the minds of men and women. He fills them with other things, fills them with these hopes, with things that cannot be realized, fills them with expectations that cannot be fulfilled. And he's leading people astray, leading them away from God. And it's so sad when people who know the gospel and who reject the gospel choose to walk in a path of darkness, choose to be led by the God of this world, and to continue day after day being blinded by the God of this world. If you're blinded by the God of this world tonight, pray that God would break that bondage and he would allow you to see things the way God sees them, that he would allow you to see the one who said, I am the light of the world. Well, when we think of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that there's a limited opportunity. As the people of the Lord's day moved through the world, they would have opportunities to contact the Lord, maybe once, maybe twice, or maybe a few times in their human experience. And as the time drew nigh for the Lord to go to the cross, he started bringing before them the fact that the light of the world would not be with them forever. And he says in John chapter 12, and if you have your Bible, you might turn to it, John chapter 12 and verse 35, he says there, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." And so he was there as the light of the world, and he's saying, I'm not going to be here forever. It's only going to be a limited time. I'm going to go away. And if you miss the opportunity, you won't have the light of this world. You'll not be a child of light. You'll not believe in the light. You'll be following darkness. And you know, we live in a world where God is dealing with people. God doesn't have his son here, but he's got those who are saved who represent the gospel, who speak the gospel message, and seek to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're his representatives in the world. He does have representatives here. But you know, there's coming a day in the not too distant future when the Lord is going to take those representatives away. The Lord himself went away back to heaven. He's going to take those representatives away. And there'll be nothing but darkness left. Yes, there'll be a gospel preached for those who perhaps have never heard the gospel before, gospel of the kingdom. It'll be perhaps a different message. But for those who know the gospel message, this day is your opportunity. And so you need to act on this. The light of the world is here ready to receive you, ready to enlighten you, ready to give you salvation if you will put your trust in him. But if you want to go through life trying to do your best, if you want to go through life trying to pursue the things that you think are important but are not important to God, if you want to go through life and follow the ideas of the world that are around, the latest fads in political thought, if you want to follow those, then you'll lead and follow a path that leads you to darkness, eternal separation from God. What is on this chart is hell and the lake of fire. It will lead you to those things, eternal separation. Tonight, you have the chance of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have the chance of following him. You have the chance of knowing the light of this world, the one who has come and lived in this world and showed who God was. You have the opportunity to trust in him. Won't you accept him tonight as your Savior? Won't you come and ask for forgiveness for the sins that maybe burden you, those thoughts that burden you? Those things that you've done that burden you, won't you come and ask for forgiveness from him and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he bore the judgments for those sins. But if you don't accept him, you'll have to bear the judgment for those sins for all eternity. He is the light, and you can touch him tonight. He's calling for you. He wants you to come, and he calls out and reaches out to you to put your trust in him. Won't you do so for his name's sake? Shall we pray?